Please turn in your Bibles for our second scripture reading and the text for tonight, today, in the book of Colossians. And we're in chapter 4. I'll be reading verse 22 of chapter 3 and on to verse 9 of chapter 4. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Tychicus, our beloved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, who tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Let's pray. Oh, great God and Heavenly Father, we desire to be fed from you today through your word. We thank you for it. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we desire by the Holy Spirit to see his glory and to be blessed through your word today, be able to better glorify you and bring you glory and praise in our lives. And as we would serve you, Father, we pray that you'd bless us and help us today. And now we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Onesimus, that's not a common name today, or maybe even a name you're very familiar with. And that's okay, because it's not one of the major stars of Scripture, and yet his name is in the Word of God. So we need to take note of that. And I'm going to just today look at him, this man, Onesimus, and give you a little bit of his backstory, and also tell you that he's so typical of everyone who is truly a sinner saved by grace. As we see the little bit that we see here in the Word of God about this man, we see how typical he is of all who have truly come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and in truth, and be changed by him. Because you can read his name here, Onesimus, if you can pronounce it right. And you see that he's called a faithful and beloved brother. And you might think, well, wow, what a great guy he was. That's why God saved him. But that's not what the way it works. God saves wretched sinners that are wretches and rebels and thieves and ungodly. And he saves them and changes them. And that's one of the key takeaways from the life of Onesimus. So in context here, I've been going preaching through the book of Colossians, and we're at the last chapter, chapter 4. Paul, after giving directions to wives, husbands, children, fathers, bondservants, we could relate to as employees today, and masters, who would be the employers. He sees his need of prayers of others. That Paul, the great apostle Paul, realizes that he needed the prayers of God's people more than anything else. That it was through that those prayers that he would be able to accomplish the will of God and fulfill the ministry that God had called him to. And here we see he desires earnestly for these prayers and with thanksgiving that the Lord would bless, open a door, bless him as he seeks to open up the gospel and take the gospel to wherever he goes. Here this letter being written to a church in Colossae, to the Colossians who were there in a church, a local church. And he gives directions. Then he gives his final greetings and he mentions individuals, again, who are not the big names of Scripture, but who are indispensable in for his life and also in the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And that's important for us to realize that no matter what we've come from, how bad we've been, how useless we've been to God, when God saves us, he changes us and gives us a purpose and usefulness and gives us that ability and desire and ability to serve him in his kingdom. And so that this should encourage us as we read about Onesimus today. But the greatest encouragement we can have in this sermon, and especially as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper today, is always to see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and our desperate need of him. Because he's the one that makes the difference in all of our lives. So first, to give you the backstory here of this man, Onesimus. His very name means profitable or useful. But as we understand, we see a little bit, find out a little bit about him, especially in that first scripture reading we read in the book of Philemon, because he's a key figure in that book. Paul wrote the letter to Philemon about Onesimus. And we see that he was anything but profitable and useful. He was just the opposite. He was useless and profitable, especially to Philemon. But really, before we have Christ, before we know Christ, before we're saved, that's the way we are to God. We bring no glory to God. We can do no good. We cannot glorify him in the least little bit or do any true good to anybody else. He's typical of what we are before Christ. We are useless and unprofitable. To that end, we see that pointed out in the book of Romans in chapter 3, where Paul labors to tell us what we are by nature. That means before Christ, before being saved. If you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, you are outside of Christ, you're without God in this world, and you are truly useless and unprofitable for anything that would bring glory to God or good to others. You may think otherwise, but the Word of God says that's the truth. In Romans 3, it says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all, Paul writes in verse 9 of chapter 3. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. So this is everybody in the world. Everybody who's a human being comes into this world under sin. Under sin's dominion, accountable to the law. For it is written, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks God. If anybody truly seeks God, it's by his grace. They have all turned aside. And here's the verse that applies to Onesimus. They have together become unprofitable. That's a statement about everybody apart from Christ. There is none who does good, no matter what you think. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. Their tongue, with their tongues, they practice deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's how we are by nature. Apart from God, apart from Christ, apart from having the Holy Spirit, none righteous, none who seek God, none who do any good, and totally unprofitable. So Onesimus is a picture of all who are unsaved. Again, if you're here this morning outside of Christ, you're not saved. This is you, and you need to flee to Christ. His story is a pretty simple one. We don't have all the information about this man, but we know that he was a servant or bond servant to a man named Philemon. But being unprofitable and unuseful and ungodly, he ran away and stole from Philemon. So he wasn't only a runaway servant, but a thief on top of that. And he ran to Rome, where he thought he was going to be unknown. Nobody would know him. Bad. Big city, Rome. It wasn't a small little town. It was a big city, and he could get lost there, or so he thought. But what? Guess who knew Philemon was in Rome? The Lord did. He couldn't run from the Lord. No matter how much he tried, no matter how much he wanted to, he couldn't run from the Lord. And somehow, this runaway slave makes it to Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wasn't just there in the city in some hotel. He was in prison. How did Onesimus get there? God's providence. The God who creates all things and orders all things in this world somehow got Onesimus to that prison, in that prison, to be with the Apostle Paul, who had some freedom, even in his chains, even in his lack of freedom, to preach the gospel. And he was used by God in his imprisonments, which at different times, to save sinners. You can think of the Philippian jailer, where Paul and Silas were in there singing hymns. God used Paul. So we can know why the jailer was there for Paul in that case. Well, why, how Onesimus got there, we don't know. Maybe he was arrested. Maybe he was thrown into prison. Or maybe he just was curious, having heard of Paul, and wanted to hear more. But somehow, God got him there, under the gospel. And that's the sovereign grace of God, the providence of God. And it's typical for us. You didn't just one day decide you were going to seek God and decide to come and hear the gospel. Well, you did, but you really didn't. I know in my life, it was the last thing I wanted to do was go to church and hear the gospel. But God in his infinite wisdom, mercy, and providence somehow directed you and I to a church or to hear the gospel in his providence, though we may not have been aware of it or wanted it, and got us there. And that's what happened with Onesimus. This runaway servant, thief, was under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And for his good, for his the best possible good that he could have gotten. He wasn't looking for it, but the Lord had his eye on Onesimus. From Charles Simeon, he writes about Onesimus. He says, Onesimus was a slave belonging to Philemon, who was a person of eminence, perhaps a minister in the church of Colossae. Onesimus fled from his master, having, it would seem, first robbed him and had come many hundred miles to Rome, where he conceived he would be perfectly out of reach of his master. It happened. It happened, not by accident. At that time, Paul was in prison in Rome, and yet, though a prisoner, he was permitted to see and instruct those who came to him. Onesimus, maybe out of curiosity or whatever way, found his way to Paul through the special grace of God. He was converted under the ministry of Paul. And again, this is how we all, if you are in Christ this morning, it was by the special grace of God who got you under the preaching of the word, and you, the Lord opened your eyes and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You came to him just like Onesimus did. And God has changed you and I from what we were. In 1 Corinthians, we see the amazing words that Paul writes to the church there in the Corinthian church. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God, period. But God. I know Pastor Bob likes that phrase, but God. We were children of wrath, just like the rest. But God, in His mercy and grace, He says, and such were some of you. The people in the church were some of these who are mentioned in that horrible list of sins. They're not that anymore. He says, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. When God saves us, saves sinners, He changes us. We're not what we once were. We may still have remaining sin and struggle with some of those sins, but God changes us and makes us something we could never be apart from Him. Isn't that good news? Isn't that great to know that God doesn't leave us in our sins? Christ Jesus came into this world. His name is Jesus. He will save His people from their sins. He doesn't leave us in our sins. And He even just forgives us, but He changes us. He gives us a new heart. He makes us useful and faithful to Him, to the kingdom of God. Like Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother to Paul, to Philemon, to all his brothers and sisters in Christ, now no longer useless, but profitable and useful. And that's the grace of God alone that does that. And we see that here so clearly. We see the way that God works, and it's typical. And Paul really points it out here, and we can see it in the book of Philemon, as Paul desires Philemon to take back this man, Onesimus, who was once useless and unprofitable. Now he uses a lot of wit and cajoling to speak to Philemon's conscience. Because Philemon was the boss in this case, and he had been wronged by Onesimus. But really, he was just a sinner, like Onesimus, saved by God's grace. Paul reminds him that that Onesimus was begotten, he says, in my chains. In other words, he was my son in the faith. So he's been changed, and now he's profitable. And he's sending him back to Philemon. And Philemon owed all to God, the God who changes sinners into saved men and makes them useful and profitable. And so he points out that to Philemon. And again, that's points out to the fact that when God saves sinners, He makes us trophies of His grace. He changes us and gives us grace to be something that we could never be. And one of the key typical things here to see about Onesimus, now he was a servant, right? He was a faithful servant. Paul calls Tychicus, his beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant. Paul wasn't looking down on these men. He was calling them faithful and beloved. And that's typical as well, because when God saves us, He saves us to serve Him. And a quote from Horatius Bonar about that, he says, we are redeemed that we may obey. Not, Bible tells us that we're slaves. Before we are saved, before God saves us, before we're born again, we're actual literal slaves. Now, Onesimus was a servant or a slave, a bond servant, but we are slaves to sin. Bible, God's word tells us that in Romans 6, he says, but you do not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you are slaves of sin, yet you obey from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. If you have been saved by the grace of God in Christ, you've not been slaves saved to serve yourself. Just the opposite. You've been saved to serve God. Bonar goes on to say, we are set free that we may serve. Even as God spoke to Pharaoh in Egypt, let my people go. Let my people go that they may serve me. You see, we're set free from slavery to sin and slavery to Satan to not be selfish, to not serve ourselves, but to serve God, to serve in the kingdom of God as servants. We are set free to serve. But the cross defines the service and shows us its nature. It is a service of love and liberty, yet it is a service of reproach and shame and tribulation. We are crucified with Christ. We are saved by Christ through the cross, through his sacrifice, to a life of sacrificial service. Why do we serve? Do we serve because we're trying to earn God's love? Because we're trying to merit our salvation? No, we can never do that. We have no righteousness, no good works which have any value, can commend us to God. We're saved by his grace to serve him, so that now, because Jesus first loved us, we can love, now we love him. And we serve out of that love to him. We're sinners set free by God to serve Christ. And now we're bond servants. We love Christ. We desire to be his servants. And because we've been changed. And here, again, you see this pictured in the life of Onesimus. It's pictured in the other places in Scripture. Not only as the people of Israel were set free in Egypt, but in other places where Jesus speaks about the parable of the runaway son, the prodigal son. We know most of that, how he ran away from God. That's us. It's a picture of us running away from God. And yet it's the Lord Jesus Christ who brings us back, sets us free. Christ is our surety. We read in Philemon how the Apostle Paul, so that Philemon would accept Onesimus back, he said, I will pay his debt. Whatever he owes you, put to my account. Now, that's a clear picture of how the Lord Jesus does it all for us. He pays our debt. He sets us free. He gives us new life in himself. We were spiritual slaves. He gives us a new heart. He makes us willing in the day of his power to love and serve him. What is all this, or should all this mean to us? It should give us new insight and love for the grace of God, and especially for Christ, who's the one who sets us free and becomes our surety. When we begin to think much of ourselves, God has to humble us and show us our real nature and our real sin. There is nothing we can offer God but our sin. That's all we have to offer him. If you think you have something to offer God, to commend yourself to God, you're still in darkness. Because we have nothing. And even as Christians, though, we can fall back and do fall continually back again into thinking that we need to earn God's love, that we can offer him something, that it's not Christ and Christ in all his fullness. That's our only boast. Our only boast should be in Christ and in him crucified, the cross of Christ. Paul said it. He said, I only boast in Jesus Christ, in him crucified. And that should be our mindset every single time we come to God. Never changes. We're still unprofitable servants, useless. But by the grace of God, we can be servants and useful servants, profitable servants. So every time we come to God, we need his grace, daily grace for that, to have that mindset. And we need to labor to bring other sinners to Christ. If you are here this morning, apart from Christ, God brought you here in some way or another. Maybe somebody invited you, a friend, a relative, but you get under the preaching of the word, and we need to make every effort to bring people to the gospel, to Christ, under the preaching of the word, which is the main way that God saves sinners. So, but whatever means, I don't mean you have to kidnap somebody and bring them here in chains, But anything short of that might be a good idea because nothing is more important. We can't do anything better for people than to bring them to Christ. And we don't save them. It's by the grace of God alone, but it's through the means of the preaching of the gospel. And that's how God saves sinners. We need to do all we can, whatever circumstance we're in. We like to make excuses when we're going through trials and have a hard, difficult life. I can't do this and I can't do that. Think of Paul. He was in prison. He was in chains, the worst of circumstances. And yet he had a heart for sinners and he preached the gospel to them. And guess what? God blessed the preaching of the word. God blessed Paul as he brought the gospel in his horrible, miserable circumstances. He was faithful. God used him. And we need to serve God in the spirit of love, out of love, because we were called to be servants of the King of Kings. And out of our thankfulness and love to him, that's the motive to serve him with our whole lives. It's a life of the cross, a life of shame and reproach and persecution at times, but it's the only way. There's only one way, and that's in Christ and through Christ, and our trusting in our surety that he's done it all. He's paid all the price and to set us free. So think about this man, Philemon, what he is, what he was to Paul, what he became, what he wasn't, useless and unprofitable. And let us be encouraged in this man who became, in the words of Paul, a faithful and beloved brother, not by himself, but by the grace of God, and useful, useful, truly useful in the kingdom of God. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you for this book of Colossians written to this church by the Apostle Paul and for the faithful laborers that are mentioned, even this one man, Onesimus, and who is had this history and yet was a trophy of your grace. We thank you for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that saving grace. We thank you for the cross of Christ, the death on the cross for sinners to be our substitute and for this precious blood that was shed for us. Father, we pray now as we consider these things that you would change us. And if there are those here this morning who are yet not saved, yet rebels, slaves to sin, running away from God, we pray that you would grab hold of them, Father, open their eyes and draw them to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray now that you'd bless us as we partake of the Lord's Supper. We thank you and praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.